With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined on this beautiful Friday morning by Pat Fitzmaurice and Derek Brown. Fellas, we are talking about some key questions breaking down the entire Week 4 slate. And as always, it is a jam-packed show. So as always, we'll jump right in. But before we do, D-Bro, you will appreciate this. Our producer, John, sent me this in the morning. There was a poll on the Spotify episode yesterday about whether or not Shrek is overrated. For those who missed it, I stand firmly on the stance that it is.
And you're wrong.
Space Jam is bad. Shrek is overrated.
You're so, Fine, God, overrated. You're so wrong about these takes.
And we asked, and we got several, you know, 100 votes. 77% said no, it is not overrated. So
Thank you. Thank you, world.
By the masses.
Thank you. Thank you, subscribers. Thank you, world. I love this. I love this so much. This made my Friday. Not, thank you, Worm.
I am not changing my opinion just because of the votes,
no,
but
I don't think you should. I mean, you're already firmly entrenched. You've dug your heels in with the wrong opinion. So now you just got to ride it out, Worm. You just got to ride it out, baby.
We do have another poll up there. So anybody who wants to go in and vote that's not related to movies, is Breece Hall a top 24 running back for the rest of the season? Currently, it's very close, actually. 52% say yes, 48% say no. So that one is close. Go vote in that. If you want Fitz, you were not on yesterday's show. Very quickly, do you have an opinion on Shrek and or the original Space Jam?
Please, Fitz.
You know, original Space Jam, you know, a classic, of course.
Thank you.
But Shrek, my kids were not super into Shrek for whatever reason. So we did not, like, I did not have to go through multiple viewings of Shrek. I think I've seen one of the Shrek movies. So no opinion, really, but I know beloved character.
Yeah, Smash Mouth is not great, so. But the movie is okay. Space Jam is also not a classic. It's super overrated. Matchup previews. Okay, we will jump right in. We actually have a London game this week. Falcons at Jaguars. That'll be the first game we talk about. So remember, everybody, to get up early if you want to, you know, set your lineups. Last year, we had the incidents where Alvin Kamara was ruled out early Sunday morning, and a lot of people left him in their lineup. So use autopilot if you want to try and make sure that doesn't happen to you. Fantasy Pros, it's one of our great tools where we will actually swap out inactive players for you automatically. So you might want to consider that for these London games at the very least. But like I said, Falcons at Jaguars. Key question here, can the Jags bounce back after two straight disappointing games? Awesome in week one. They have disappointed in weeks two and three. D-Bro, I'll start with you. Can Jacksonville bounce back here in London?
Oh, I think they can, and I think they absolutely will. And really, the attack plan for the Jaguars, it's really simple. Run the ball and pick on every cornerback not named A.J. Terrell. And they should walk away with a really good game in this one. Like, I'm going to have Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to try to have him above consensus ranked. But you look at this, and the Falcons' run defense is definitely exploitable. They have the 12th highest explosive run rate. They've been giving up all kinds of production to zone runs, and that's 51% of ETN's rushing carry total. And then, as well, like I said, stay away from A.J. Terrell, and you're good, baby. Like, Calvin Ridley's going to run 58% of his routes, and I'll put this in the primer, against Trey Flowers and D. Alford. Both those guys have not been playing good. Like, Trey Flowers, 146 passer rating in his coverage. D. Alford, 139. So sign me up for great days out of the Jaguars offense, and specifically Trevor Lawrence, ETN, Ridley, Christian Kirk. I'm going to have all of them ranked, or at least try to have them pushed above consensus this week.
But D-Bro, didn't we say this last week going up against the Texans? Oh, this is a good matchup. They should smash, and then they didn't.
That's exactly what happened. But the other part about that is Calvin Ridley got banged up in that game. He had a few crucial drops, and we saw that the past 2 weeks. I want to say he dropped at least one touchdown in Kansas City. And for everybody that's going to get on Calvin Ridley, and I wrote it up in the primer, like, look, drops don't matter, baby. Like, that is things that happen. It's in the game that they play. It's going to happen, but I'm not worried about Calvin Ridley long term, and I don't think anybody else should be.
Fitz, what do you make of the Jags this week?
Yeah, I mean, I like their chances. I think they'll move the ball, and they kind of have been moving the ball. They just haven't been really cashing in with touchdowns. They got to get better on defense if they want to win. They've given up 6.2 yards per play the last 2 weeks. Their special teams are currently ranked 30th in DVOA, so it's not really the offense's fault that they haven't been winning, but yeah, they just haven't been scoring enough touchdowns, I guess. So, but I agree with D-Bro. The matchups look pretty good this week.
And we're just quickly on the other side. We're not worried about Bijan after one bad game, just no. In case anybody is wondering, which
Worm,
they probably aren't.
Did we talk about this? Like the Detroit Lions, I talked about this in the previous episodes. People can go pull this up, pull the receipts. I told you to sit Tyler Allgeier in previous weeks, and people should be talking about the Detroit Lions run defense. And now they're starting to wake up and get it, man. Like after the Packers game, they understand that the Detroit Lions are an elite run defense. So, I'm not worried about Bijan. He's going to bounce back. Yeah.
We are back with another week of football, and DraftKings Sportsbook is keeping us in on the NFL action with great offers every single game day. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Throw $5 down on any of this week's epic matchups to walk away an instant winner. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. Football is more fun when you're in on the action, so download the app now and sign up with code FANTASYPROS. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and that's with code FANTASYPROS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Let's go to game number two. I think pretty easily the game of the week, and it's Dolphins at Bills. So the obvious storyline here is after scoring 70 points last week, what will the Dolphins encore look like in Buffalo, Fitz?
Oh, man. I wish we had this as a standalone game,
oh, yeah.
By the way.
Ooh.
This would have been much better than watching my Packers get destroyed last night. So, yeah, I mean, I think the interesting angle is what we're going to see that backfield look like after the Devon Achane breakout in week three. So, I don't know. Mostert outsnapped Achane 37-30 last week. I'm guessing we see something vaguely similar this week, but I don't know. Maybe it could be more 50-50. Maybe it's more Mostert being the lead guy and Achane in a supporting role. Maybe Salvon Ahmed is back from a groin injury this week, and that shifts things a little bit. But I do think you're probably still playing Achane in most cases. I know I will be in a few leagues. And, you know, Mostert is a must start at this point. But I can't wait for this matchup.
Yeah,
what a game.
Yeah, Fitz, I asked both D-Bro and Erickson this yesterday, so I want to ask you now today. Raheem Mostert is ranked 16 now spots higher in the expert consensus rankings than Achane. Is that too wide of a gap considering, like, Achane got more carries last week and obviously had 200 yards? Now, Raheem Mostert was also awesome, but to me, that gap seems a little too wide, right? And this is in half PPR rankings, by the way.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we have to wait for this to normalize. They just ran so many plays last week, and maybe that was the reason we got such a big dose of Achane. Or and now I have to call him Achane.
Yeah, I keep trying to correct myself. Yeah.
Achane is just such a cool name. Yeah. I can't believe he wants to be something else. But yeah, I don't know how this is going to work out yet. It's possible that Achane doesn't get more than like 10 or 12 touches. Like maybe Mostert is the lead guy. And just because of the way things went with, you know, the Dolphins just completely steamrolling the Broncos last week, maybe that's why the snap count was so high.
Yeah,
for Achane.
Of course, 10 or 12 touches could mean like 160 yards in this offense and with his speed.
True.
D-Bro, what are you expecting out of the Dolphins here in the game of the week?
I think it's going to be a lot of deep passing and a lot of Devon Achane. Like, looking at Achane's matchup in this game, It's beautiful. And the way that they're deploying him in their run game scheme, and I highlighted this in the primer, I think he's going to out-carry Raheem Mostert. And this week, because if you look at how they stack up against the Buffalo run defense, Buffalo has been extremely good. They're limiting zone runs, which has been Raheem Mostert's bread and butter. And we know this going back all the way to the San Francisco days. They're limiting those to the 14th lowest yards per carry. But if you flip the script and you look at what Buffalo has done versus gap runs, which is 52.6% of Achan's rushing volume, they're allowing the highest yards per carry to gap runs in the NFL, 7.0 yards per carry, courtesy of Fantasy Points data. That is ridiculous. So you're telling me you're going to get Achan downhill quickly and just let him tear up this defense? I'm here for it. And I've got Achan, just for everybody out there, I have Achan ranked above Raheem Mostert. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is this week, and I'm with you. We talked about this on the previous show. Like, that gap should not be as wide as it is, and I have them flipped in my ranks. But I think it's going to be deep passing because Buffalo has struggled against that over the last 2 years and a lot of Devon Achan.
Fitz, I'm not going to ask this for every game, but just because this is, I think, very clearly the game, you know, of the week, I want to get your quick betting opinion. The line's 3, maybe 2.5, depending on what book you're looking at. Who do you think wins this game?
I think it's going to be really close. I'm betting the Dolphins, and I got 3 points with the Dolphins. I like that. I do think they're the equal of the Bills, mm-hmm. at least the equal of the Bills. I mean, probably maybe the more explosive offense, but I didn't think this game should have been a field goal. It feels more like a 1.5, 2-point
yep.
game.
Yeah. This game should be a pick'em. I agree.
Yeah.
Close, yeah.
This is the perfect opportunity to talk about this year's Fantasy Over-Under Challenge, which is presented by Betting Pros. Each week, the guys will be making over-under picks for 10 different players for how many fantasy points we expect them to score. Submit your picks to play along with the guys so you don't miss out on the chance to win awesome prizes. That's fantasypros.com/challenge. And one of this week's players is Devon Achan. So I had to include him here coming off of his historic week 3, obviously. His line is only set at 10 fantasy points. So I want to ask if he's going to go over or under. And we already know Debro's taking over. So Fitz, I will start with you. Are you also going to go over on Achan?
I'll go over too.
Good.
You know, he can get that in a couple of plays.
You can't make me the Achan stand. Well, that's your dude. Okay, Pat? I can't take that moniker. True. That's your boy.
that line seems too low just coming off of what we saw. I know the Bills are a bit better of a defense than the Broncos, but still.
I'll throw a little mustard on top of that. I think he can hit the over without even scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you're right. That explosiveness is in that offense. I mean, Fitz talked about it all summer.
Get him over 100 total yards and he's going to hit the over. That can happen.
The phrase Pat kept using was hand in glove fit, and it's exactly mm-hmm. right. That it was just so fun to see it come to fruition. I already mentioned autopilot, but just want to remind everybody, take the stress out of lineup management with MyPlaybook's autopilot tool at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Enjoy automated optimal lineup adjustments, giving you both peace of mind and the best shot at victory each week. And again, it is especially helpful for these London games. Do not get caught sleeping in and missing out on fantasy points. Let's go to game number 3 here. Vikings at Panthers. A little less exciting than Dolphins-Bills is this week. My key question here, and I'll start with you, Debro. Debro, how close is Jordan Addison to getting to must-start status?
He's still got a few more steps to take. And this is not steps for him. These are steps for the Minnesota Vikings. The fact that they are still running out KJ Osborne over Jordan Addison as far as playing time, it is egregious. So this is not an Addison thing. This is a Minnesota Vikings thing. Like, we get it. Okay, you know, we all remember the BC Johnson versus Justin Jefferson. That was cute. And you're doing the same thing with Jordan Addison. Can we just stop? Can we just, the joke's not funny. It's like one of those jokes like your uncle keeps telling it around Thanksgiving and everybody's like, okay, God, we've heard this like 5 times. Like, we get it. It's not funny. Just move on. If that happens and Jordan Addison becomes an 80 to 90% dropback guy and he's still not, then yes, he will get to must start status because then the talent will be on the field and the Vikings will have understood that he should be the number 2 in this offense, not TJ Hockenson, and he should be starting over KJ Osborne. So no, he has not reached that status yet, but if the Vikings can get out of their own way, he can.
They did get out of their own way with Jefferson, even though it took a few weeks. We're right in that time frame where they did it for him, you know, a few years ago. Fitz, what do you think?
Debro summed it up pretty well. The Vikings should be playing Addison in two receiver sets, but until they do, it's going to be a little risky. So last week, he played a season-high 71% of the offensive snaps. That still means he is not on the field for 20 to 25 offensive snaps a game. So that's that makes him a little bit risky. And right now, Addison is getting by on super high efficiency, 9.7 yards per target. He's had touchdowns on two of his 13 catches, but the floor is not as stable as it should be when his snap counts are lower than they should be.
Let's move to the other battle of winless teams here, Broncos at Bears. I called this earlier in the week when I saw that this was going to be one of the matchups. Last Sunday, I called it the easily stoppable force against the super movable object. this is just a hideous game. It has Thursday Night Football feel written all over it. My question here is, I mean, going up against a defense that just gave up 70 points, this has to be the bounce back week for Justin Fields, right, Fitz?
Yeah, it should be. And you won't have to wait too long for a Thursday night game with the Bears, Worm. Oh. You get that next week.
Oh,
so,
I know.
You'll get to enjoy that. Bears Commanders. Oh, how's that for some Thursday night action? Yeah, I mean, what hurts right now with Fields is that he is only on pace for 600 rushing yards after running for 1,100 yards last year. So one of the issues is that there is just not enough of a vertical dimension to the Bears passing game right now. Fields is averaging 6.9 intended air yards per throw. Last year was 9.1 yards. Man, does Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy love calling screen passes. And unfortunately, like, there's so many times that the defensive linemen know it's coming. And, like, they start to rush and peel back. Like, they know the screen is coming. I mean, I'm guessing the Bears have probably run, twice as many screens as the next closest team. And it's not like Fields can't throw downfield effectively. We saw it at Ohio State. So, like, I do think he's going to bounce back eventually. But, man, this offense and the design, the play calling, it doesn't inspire confidence.
Yeah, it has been really unfun to watch. Debro, you, unless you've updated this, are ranking Justin Fields QB 17 this week, even up against what should be an incredibly easy matchup. So you're not thinking this is the bounce back week for him, Debro?
So no, I want to update my ranks. I had him buried. I wanted to get through all the way through the primer to kind of see where I stood. I'm actually going to bump Justin Fields up. I'm going to kick him up to QB 10 this week. I do think that this is the bounce back. And let me be clear about this. I think this is the bounce back in spite of Luke Getsy. I've gotten to the point where I don't know how you can call a worse offense than what he's doing in Chicago. It's not even just the fact that he loves screens, which is absolutely on point, Fitz. It's the fact that he loves calling the same play over and over and over again and thinking, what? The defense doesn't know it's coming? They do. They really do. It's blasphemous, man. So I think that Fields can have a good game in this matchup. And the total is Vegas is telling us that the total is at 46. I think this is actually one of the ugly, people look at this game and say it's going to be ugly. I think this is the sneaky shootout of the week. Both of these defenses cannot stop anybody. Both these quarterbacks can get it done. Russell Wilson is playing really good football right now. And I think that if the Bears are pushed, which I think the Broncos will do that, then I think Fields is going to have to run, and I think we're going to see a good week out of DJ Moore as well.
Debro, we don't have time for a deep dive, but I know that you have been really excited about what we've seen out of Russell Wilson, so give me 20, 30 seconds tops on Russell Wilson being good again.
I mean, he's top 10 in almost every metric that you look at. He's running again. Sean Payton is calling a good offense outside of the fact that he does not want to use Marvin Mims, but more Marvin Mims is going to be a good thing for Russell Wilson, and all we got to do is just see him just get out of his own way, just operate the system, and Russ is going to have a really good bounce back campaign that he's already started.
He only ran in one game though, Debro. 56 yards against Washington, really nothing.
I think we're
going to
see that this week.
That's what I worry about, and that was kind of his spike game. Mm-hmm. Other than that, he's had two okay games, so I still think he's a matchup play.
Fellas, I am headed home next weekend to attend the Orioles hosting the ALDS games 1 and 2. I'm actually headed home for a wedding, but while I'm there, I'm going to be going to one of these games at least to see my Orioles in the postseason. I'm super excited. They clinched the AL East last night. It was an awesome night of celebrating. And the best way to get tickets to that game or any game is on Game Time, the official ticketing partner of Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football, for last-minute amazing deals on tickets to see your favorite football team or baseball team this September, October, all season long. Download Game Time. And as you've heard us say before, it's not just for football and not just for sports. They've got tickets to concerts and comedy shows across the country. So download the Game Time app and redeem code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the Game Time app and enter code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $20 off. No matter where you live, get out and have some fun this week. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Guys, let's go to a game that might also be ugly, but not because it's two bad teams. Ravens at Browns. I think this is going to be a real defensive struggle. I'm not exactly going out on a limb there. Cleveland's defense looks historically good. I think the Ravens' defense has played incredibly well considering the injuries they've had. They might be getting Marcus Williams back this week, which is going to help. Deshaun Watson's been up and down. So I think this is going to be a really tough game to see scoring. My question goes along with that. Can either team even get to 20 points in this game? And really, what's the case for starting any players in this matchup considering the defenses they're going against, Fitz?
Yeah, I mean, this does set up like a classic AFC North rock fight. The Vegas total is 40.5 points, and I think the under looks pretty good here. The Browns, number one in defensive DVOA, the Ravens, number five. Browns are averaging a league-low 3.2 yards allowed per play. 3.2, that is historically good, as you were saying, Worm. And the next best team in that category giving up 4.1 yards per play, the Ravens. So, it's a good question. Why should we start anyone in this game? Well, I'm willing to start Lamar Jackson because he's, you know, maybe the best running quarterback of all time. Willing to play Mark Andrews because of the history and because tight end is an absolute dumpster fire of a position. And I guess I'm willing to play Zay Flowers just for the target volume. 10 targets in 2 of his 3 games so far. But other than that, boy, I really don't want to play any of the running backs. And maybe Amari Cooper, just because he's pretty good at football, but that's about it. Those four guys, and otherwise avoid.
You called it a rock fight. I will be shocked if we don't hear the term slobber knocker on the broadcast once in this one.
Devro, that's a good word.
Devro, what do you think? It is a good word.
I think this is going to be an ugly, ugly, ugly game. Like, give me the under on the total, and I'll pare down the options even further. Lamar Jackson, yeah, if you got him, you're probably starting him just because of the rushing equity. If you have Mark Andrews, you're starting him, although you need to seriously temper your expectations. Like, Cleveland allowing the fewest receiving yards and 0 touchdowns per game to tight ends. They have been shutting every position down. I mean, I'll sit Amari Cooper. I get the target volume, but I'd rather play matchup guys over him this week. So I think this game is going to be gross. It's going to be disgusting. It's really going to be one of those games where you're better off just checking the score and the highlights on like the on an app over watching it, because you're going to just turn it off in 2 seconds.
Yeah, the Ravens look like they are going to get 2 offensive linemen back, which should help. But I mean, like, honestly, maybe people will stop saying that I only pick players based on being a Ravens homer. I might sit Lamar in this game, honestly. Like, I am not feeling good about really anybody going up against this defense, and I just think it's going to be a slog. And
I'd consider pushing Lamar outside of my top 12 quarterbacks for the week. I know that sounds crazy, but
I mean, if I was worried about his injuries on draft day and I drafted like a Kirk Cousins as like a high end backup or somebody like that, I'm easily starting him over Lamar. Or if I took the swing on Anthony Richardson for a high upside pick, I'm probably starting him over Lamar.
I mean, like,
there's a lot of guys I would consider for that.
Two guys that I have right now in my ranks over Lamar Jackson is Matthew Stafford and Daniel Jones. And I don't think that the process is wrong with that. Like, looking at names and stuff, yeah, like, quarterbacks have bad weeks. Like, I get that, like, he should be a top 12 quarterback on the rushing, but
yeah.
The matchup's terrible.
I'm not worried about good defenses. I'm worried about historic defenses. And that's what I think Cleveland is shaping up to be and have been to date. Our multi-league assistant makes juggling multiple leagues easier than ever. Head to fantasypros.com/myplaybook to get expert advice for all your teams in one spot so you can dominate every league every week. Guys, let's go to game number 6 here. Steelers at Texans. I actually might have said I'd start C.J. Stroud over Lamar if he wasn't going up against the Steelers, because I'm really worried about the passing game holding up against this pass rush given the state of the offensive line. And that is my question for you guys. Can C.J. Stroud and the Texans passing game hold up against T.J. Watt and company? Debra, I'll start with you.
I love Stroud, but this is not going to be a game where you want to play him. Even if Tunsil plays, going against this Pittsburgh pass rush is just impossible, man. Like, they're 13th in blitz rate, 3rd in pressure rate. Stroud has been pressured at the 7th highest rate in the NFL. So I love C.J. Stroud. I think he's playing fantastically. And can he pull out this, like, do they win this game? I'm not going to fully count him out, but the deck is highly stacked against him. So if you got him, you're not playing him this week.
Yeah, Fitz. I assume you agree here. We love C.J. Stroud. We love what we've seen, but not this week.
Correct. 13 sacks for the Steelers, 30.3% pressure rate. And I mean, just such a bad hand dealt to Stroud with this offensive line. 3 starters on IR with Titus Howard, Kenyon Green, and Juice Scruggs. And then Laremy Tunsil, the best offensive lineman they have, isn't going to play this week. So trying to take on that pass rush with a depleted offensive line, not good. And I think it pulls down to guys we'd normally be excited about, Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Like, I've got those guys ranked as low-end wide receiver 3, high-end wide receiver 4 types, and I almost wonder if that isn't too high for those guys. Like, I'd probably be looking for reasons not to play Collins or Tank Dell this week.
Yeah, quickly, Debra, where do you have those 2 receivers ranked?
I've got them both ranked in wide receiver 3 territory, I think just because of the target volume. But it's a definite conversation. I mean, in the range that we have him, do you play somebody like Jacoby Myers over Tank Dell or Nico Collins? Do you play DJ Moore over these guys, Cortland Sutton? Like, that's the range where I think they should belong. And I can't tell you it's wrong to play those other guys in better matchups, or their quarterbacks are going to have more time in the pocket over these 2 wide receivers, although I still love them. I mean, we have to marry the matchup with how we're going to rank these guys.
Let's go to Rams at Colts here. And my question is, are we starting Anthony Richardson with confidence in his likely return from the concussion protocol? Fitz, what do you think?
Oh, without a doubt. I put up a stat on Twitter yesterday. It really just meant to be a fun stat, not anything to illustrate a point or anything. But of course, some people called it stupid, and that's Twitter for you. But
That's Twitter for
fantasy
you.
Points per snap so far this season. Anthony Richardson, 0.47. He is averaging almost half a fantasy point every time the Colts run an offensive play. And granted, it's 87 snaps. It's a teardrop sized sample. But compare that with the 3 highest drafted quarterbacks in fantasy football. So 0.47 for Richardson. Mahomes is at 0.36, Josh Allen at 0.29, and Jalen Hurts at 0.27. So I don't know if Richardson is going to keep scoring fantasy points at this high a clip. Like, he's probably not going to have 20 rushing touchdowns, but I think he's already established himself as a weekly must start.
Debro, do you agree? And really, the only reason I asked the question is not about his ability to score points, but the fact that he's yet to complete an NFL game.
I mean, I absolutely agree. I think as long as he could possibly stay healthy, and I think this just comes down to, bad luck, concussion, and him needing to either go out of bounds or slide whenever he's running. Once he gets that, like, we're going to be fine here, people. Like, top 10, top 12 quarterback, weekly, the matchup, and I did not think we'd be at week 4, and I would be telling people, the matchup's pretty bad. Like, this Rams defense, this pass defense, has been playing way above their head. And this is not me to say, like, they can't continue that. But their cornerbacks, like Witherspoon and Kendrick, are playing out of their minds. This zone-heavy scheme, like, it has been really, really good so far. Like, that, when you pull up the metrics, like, seeing where the Rams are as a pass defense is very, very surprising. I mean, 7th lowest yards per attempt, 6th lowest passer rating allowed. Those numbers drop off the page. But this is all to say, am I starting Anthony Richardson if I got him? You better believe it, man. The rushing equity alone is going to put him up there. And if there's any game outside of the Broncos and the Bears this week, this is the sneaky shootout game of the week. The Rams versus the Colts. This is what I'm calling it, because the pace of play in this game is going to be ridiculous. Both these teams are top five, top 10 in pace right now. So I'm going to bet the over on the total. I think I already actually bet it. And I think this is going to be the shootout of the week.
Let's go to another over-under challenge here with Puka Nacua. His line is all the way up at 13.5 fantasy points. He had a down week, I guess, you know, compared to weeks one and two in week three, but was still, you know, semi-productive. Will he go over or under 13.5 fantasy points against the Colts, D-Bro?
Drinking the juice, baby. Open up the gallon, guzzle it down. We're going all Puka all day, all the time. And this comes down to the way that this offense runs and going against Indy's zone coverage. Puka Nacua is one of only four wide receivers in the NFL right now that has over a 40% first read target share against zone coverage. Puka Nacua is going to crush this line.
Fitz, 13.5 fantasy points, over or under? Are you drinking the juice?
I'm drinking the juice. I dare not underestimate Puka Nacua on a show with Derek Brown. So, yeah, I'm taking the over. And, like, the Colts cornerbacks aren't good. Like, it's not a good group. So, yeah, I think Puka is going to smash this week.
D-Bro, of course, handles the primer every single week. You can check that out. It always drops on Thursday mornings. But I wanted to mention that also with our My Primer tool, you can get a personalized view of the primer tailor-made for your specific fantasy team. All you have to do is head to fantasypros.com/myplaybook and quickly sync your team for our in-depth advice. And D-Bro does dive deep on this, but all specific to your players on your team. It's really an awesome tool. Makes it very convenient to help you decide things on Sunday mornings. Let's go to game number 8 here, guys. Bucks at Saints. My question here is, how does the QB change, which I don't know if it's actually official yet, but it's pretty likely it's going to be Jameis Winston this week, given the injury to Derek Carr. How does that QB change, plus the return from suspension for Alvin Kamara, change our expectations for this Saints offense, D-Bro?
I mean, we kind of talked about this earlier in the week, but I think it's going to be a lot of Alvin Kamara. I'm going to have him ranked aggressively. I think he's going to have a really, really good game, because what we're going to see out of this offense is, and we've already seen it before, the New Orleans Saints with Jameis Winston under center, they turtle. They go slow. They run the ball. They're going to lean on the defense. They do not want to put the ball in the hands of Jameis Winston to win a ball game. And we saw this in 2021 when Winston was a starter. 9th slowest neutral pace, 3rd highest neutral rushing rate. And the matchup for Kamara on the ground is fantastic this week. You're talking about a Bucs defense that's giving up the 14th highest explosive run rate and the 10th lowest stuff rate. So I think we're going to see a very run-heavy approach here. Maybe Winston takes a few shots downfield because the Bucs have not been good versus deep passing, but a lot of Kamara, and I think he's a locked-in RB1 this week.
So that's interesting, because Pat, I've been kind of fading Kamara a bit this week, just with the idea that Jameis Winston doesn't ever really check down to him, and so much of his value is in the receiving game. So he might get a lot of work on the ground, but maybe not as much through the air. What do you think of the offense, given both these guys kind of entering the fray?
Yeah, Worm, I kind of see it your way on Kamara. Sorry, D-Bro. I mean, I do worry that Jameis is not going to probably pepper Kamara with targets. Like, this is not a Drew Brees type setup for Alvin Kamara, unfortunately. And I wonder if they're really going to pound him 20 times on the ground in his first game back. You know, like, if there are maybe conditioning issues and they try to keep him more in the 12 to 15 carry range. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely don't feel great about starting Jameis in a super flex league, because you never know. Like, yes, he will make some aggressive downfield throws, but he might also throw 3 or 4 interceptions. I mean, this is a guy who in his last full season as a starter threw 30 interceptions. So, you know, I guess that makes you feel decent enough if you're starting Chris Olave, Michael Thomas, or even Rashid Shaheed. Although, as D-Bro said, that run rate has been high with the Saints. They're not going to just let Jameis go out and let it rip the way they did in Tampa when he was there.
Let's go to an NFC East battle. A lot of divisional matchups this week. Commanders at the Eagles. My question is Terry McLaurin startable? And following up on that, is Jahan Dotson even rosterable right now? They have not been playing up to the expectations we had in draft season. Fitz, I'll start with you here.
I don't want to start Terry McLaurin if I don't have to. I have him ranked wide receiver 37 this week. The Eagles are just a bad matchup for passing games. Last year, they gave up about 180 passing yards per game. They're giving up more than that this year, but that was kind of skewed by the Kirk Cousins performance against them in week two when the Vikings were behind all game, throwing the catch up and couldn't run the ball. Sam Howell was just an utter train wreck last week against the good Bills pass defense. And I worry that Sam Howell might not be that good. He's basically played one strong half this year. Second half comeback against the Broncos in week two. Yeah, we know the Eagles can dial up pressure and they can bring it. They've got pass rushers all over that front seven. And so, yeah, I don't want to start McLaurin. As for Dotson, he is rosterable. The talent is real. But until we see more from the Washington passing game, Dotson is just a matchup play, and you have to wait for better matchups.
DeBro, what do you think about both these guys?
Yeah, I'm with Pat on this one. We're hand-holding. I've got Terry McLaurin as my wide receiver 36 this week. And honestly, I keep staring at that rank and think maybe it's being a little bit too generous, to be honest, just because the matchup is bad. And unfortunately, I'm going to sit here and say that John Dotson is not roster worthy. The way that Sam Howell is playing, the target volume that Jahan Dotson is getting, I mean, 16.2% target share. Yes, that's equal with Terry McLaurin, but I mean, both these guys are not players you want to start right now. And you can't even roster Jahan Dotson because, yeah, he's got the target share, but he's got 0.7 yards per route run. Sam Howell is not playing good football. And this was my concern walking into the season. It was, can Sam Howell support one or even two pass catchers in the upcoming year? And what is their neutral passing rate going to look like? And so I honestly, I kind of wonder, is Washington, because Riverboat Ron, I think he's coaching for his job. I think they're going to have to make a playoff run for him to keep his job with the new ownership coming in. I kind of wonder, are we going to see a change to Jacoby Brissett soon?
There is yet another game in the early afternoon slate. For the second straight week, they have put 9 games in the early afternoon Sunday slate, despite the fact that we have a London game and still only 3 in the late afternoon. That will never not anger me. But the last game here in the early afternoon slate is Bengals at Titans. DeBro, I will start with you. Just how back is the Bengals offense after their Monday night win?
Not really. Like, the problem with how Cincinnati is having to run their offense right now is that the matchups that they're presented with are not really great for how they're having to do things. With Joe Burrow getting the ball out, like this week's matchup versus Tennessee, yes, the Tennessee secondary is really bad, but what they are actually good at is tackling. So with Cincinnati's passing attack, it's going to be get the ball out of his hands and depend on Yak, which is a lot of Burrow to Chase. We see that every single time that they need Yak, that's who they go to. So I think Chase gets fed in this game, but they're not going to look like they're back this week. Like an elite run defense, a secondary that can tackle really, really good and is top 10 in the least amount of Yak allowed in the NFL. So can you burn Tennessee's secondary? Yes, you can, but with deep balls, not with Yak. So I think Cincinnati pulls out a win, but I think it's going to be ugly, and I think we're going to see a lot of dink and dunk from Jamar with Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase this week.
Pat, what do you make of this offense, both in terms of kind of where they stand from the larger picture, but also going up specifically against the Titans?
Yeah, not back yet. And granted, as DeBro pointed out earlier, the Rams' pass defense is better than we thought it was going to be. But Burrow didn't look like he was back against the Rams in week three. I mean, a 53% completion rate, 5.3 yards per attempt, one touchdown, two interceptions, a passer rating of 59.8. Yeah, so, I mean, like the Burrow to Chase combination did click in week three, and that's encouraging. And we have seen Chase used on sort of shorter routes this year, like his average depth of target is way down. But yeah, I don't know if Burrow can fully exploit kind of this suspect Titans secondary or not. Like, I still don't think I have him in my top 10 this week. I think he's just outside of QB 11.
I think that's very reasonable. Let's get to the late afternoon slate finally. Game number 11 here, Raiders at Chargers. My question is, who steps up in the Chargers passing attack in the absence of Mike Williams? Obviously, both Quentin Johnston and Josh Palmer were very popular waiver pickups this week. So is it one of those two guys, or maybe neither, or maybe both? Debra, what do you think?
I think it's going to be a lot of Keenan Allen all day, all the time. But outside of that, I think that we're going to see Josh Palmer have a good game this week. And I'm not the biggest Josh Palmer stan. If you've read the primer, if you've ever watched Josh Palmer play football, you should know this as well. But Josh Palmer this week, I think he does have a good week. Against man coverage, the team has been going to him. We've seen a lot of man coverage from the Raiders secondary. Josh Palmer this season versus man coverage, 21% target share, 2.1 yards per route run. So I think that he is going to have a good game. But people need to be stashing Quentin Johnston, and they need to do it now, because there is an easy runway for him to become the wide receiver two in this passing attack. And if he has the talent and he can pay off on that draft pedigree, if all of that is real, he could be a massive, massive waiver wire ad player that you're starting on a weekly basis. And I think that he can be the wide receiver too in this offense. So stash him now, but I think Palmer is going to have a better week right now.
Fitz, which of those two guys, or again, maybe neither or maybe both, are you looking at?
Well, Keenan Allen mostly. I mean, I smashed the over on Keenan Allen's player prop of 81.5 receiving yards. Like, I think he clears that easily in a good matchup. And I'm with Debro. Like, I'd rather play Palmer than Quentin Johnston this week. It will be interesting to see if Johnston, a first round pick, a really talented dude, can overtake Palmer. But man, and I know Debro said drops don't bother him, and generally they don't bother me that much either. Like, I mean, you know, guys like DJ Moore sometimes have issues with drops, and there are other good receivers who we've seen have occasional problems, Jamar Chase. But man, like, it's been kind of chronic for Quentin Johnston, and like almost to the point where it is a little worrisome. It might be kind of a technique thing more than just a concentration thing. So that's kind of an issue. But I agree. QJ is a good stash. Like, this dude is a baller. If he can get the drop thing figured out, he is going to be a really, really good NFL receiver.
Let's also hit one last player in the Betting Pros over-under challenge. That's going to be Josh Jacobs, who has been off to an incredibly slow start this season. His over-under is set at 11 fantasy points. How will he fare against the Chargers, Fitz?
Man, as good a matchup as this is, I'm going to go under. That running game is just not working right now.
I think that's fair, Debro.
I'll take the over, but not by much. I'm really only taking the over because I think he gets in the end zone this week. I think the passing matchup is good enough to where he can get one short touchdown and push him to the over.
Where are you guys ranking Jacobs this week? Because he's technically like top five in the staff rankings, but we don't sound very excited about him.
Well, I've got him at RB7. I mean, he's right behind Travis Etienne, Tony Pollard. I think you just have a muddled mess. Like, once you get outside of like the top 3 to 5 running backs, you can make a case for a lot of guys in that back end RB1 range.
Yeah.
Same here, RB7.
Let's go to Patriots at Cowboys. Now, we're obviously not sitting CeeDee Lamb or Tony Pollard, but is there anybody else in this matchup that you're interested in starting in, Pat?
Just Ramondre. I mean, he is not losing his job to Ezekiel Elliott. I know that some people have hit me up with questions on Twitter, panicking, thinking Zeke is taking over the gig. Yes, Zeke had 16 carries last week, but Stevenson had 19 carries and outsnapped Zeke 47-27. So yeah, I would start Ramondre, but that's pretty much it. I mean, maybe Hunter Henry or Jake Ferguson if you're in tight end hell. But otherwise, you know, it's Lamb, it's Pollard, it's Ramondre, and that's about it.
Debra?
Mondre. That's it. I don't want any part of this game. This game is going to be disgusting. I think the best point that I could sit here and make is to pile on top of what Pat said. If you're worried about Ramondre Stevenson, don't be. Please do not be. Like, Ezekiel Elliott is not going to take that job. I think Ramondre is a guy that we're going to see as he moves through the season. He's going to get better. He's going to play better. He's going to be the guy that you thought. Because here's the thing about Ezekiel Elliott. He just doesn't have any juice left, man. Like, when I wrote him up for the primer, Ezekiel Elliott has the fourth lowest missed tackle forced rate per attempt and the 10th lowest yards after contact per attempt amongst 59 qualifying running backs. He just doesn't have it anymore. He's not taking that job from Andre.
Yeah, that's pretty damning, you know, statistical evidence against him for anybody who might have been excited about Zeke, which I know we all certainly we're not. Let's go to the last game on the late afternoon slate. That's Cardinals at 49ers. the Cardinals sprung a massive upset a week ago. Can they score enough against San Francisco to pull off another? Debra?
Nope. Not going to happen. This is a truly elite defense. And I know that people could say that about the Cowboys and stuff. And I'm not against like saying that the Cowboys, I'm not saying the Cowboys are bad or anything like that. San Francisco's defense has been shut down, regardless of however you're trying to attack them. Secondary, good luck. Running, good luck. This line is the way that it is in the betting markets for a reason. And I think that San Francisco covers that line. So you can count me out. Like, if you got better options than James Conner, Marquise Brown, the only two guys I think are startable or at least somewhat possibly startable from the Cardinals, you need to be looking at different options, like matchup options, things like that this week. I don't want to have anything to do with either one of those guys.
Yeah, Fitz, do you think that Arizona is going to be scoring any points in this game?
Yeah, do you have any real questions about this game, Ryan? Otherwise, I think a simple no would suffice.
Yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, we're obviously starting all the...
I just wrote my prep for this. I just put nope in capital letters.
It's not really a fantasy question, but yeah, like we're starting all the 49ers. Like, you're probably starting Connor for the volume and maybe Hollywood. That's really it. Like, there's not really much else to the game.
I'll just add something about Connor. I've got him ranked running back 22, and I know the matchup is terrifying. And like, he is going to get volume. You figure he is going to get his 15 to 20 carries in this game. And that might mean 17 carries for 36 yards against this defense. And if he doesn't get into the end zone, you know, you don't really get your fantasy quota for the week out of James Conner. But you've got to follow the volume. You know, I'd still rather start James Conner than most of the committee backs that you might consider starting over him.
Well, if you thought that game was not very fun to talk about, let's move to another blowout. Chiefs at the Jets. Now, the Jets, at the very least, do have a very strong defense. So is there any concern whatsoever for you guys, for any Chiefs players in your lineup? Now, it's probably not going to be Mahomes or Kelsey, but is there any concern for any of these other Chiefs players in your lineup, given the strength of the Jets' defense, Fitz?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not starting any of the Chiefs receivers against the Jets. Mm-hmm. And for that matter, I'm not starting any of the Chiefs receivers in even better matchups than this, I think, if I can avoid it. But yeah, you're not going to, you're not benching Mahomes. That would be too cute. You're certainly not benching Kelsey. Like, the Jets haven't even been that good against tight ends this year. Pacheco, yeah, I mean, I'm willing to start him. Like, not a super appealing play, but I think he's at least flex worthy. And, you know, I'm not starting Jerick McKinnon. Just doesn't get enough touches to justify it. If he doesn't get into the end zone, you're going to be left with almost nothing.
Debra, are you worried at all about KC?
I'm not worried about KC. Like, I think they're going to stomp the Jets, but I am worried about Isaiah Pacheco. I'm going to be below consensus this week on him. The matchup versus the Jets is really bad for him. Their run defense is allowing the fourth lowest explosive run rate, the 11th lowest yards per carry to gap runs, which Pacheco's 57% of his rushing volume has been on gap design runs. So Pacheco is definitely somebody I do not want to plug into a lineup. I think we could see more Jerick McKinnon this week. I'm not saying to rush out and play him, because Pat is absolutely right. The snap volume is not there. You're basically just wishing and hoping that he gets touchdowns, which I get he got two of them last week. Wishing that for that on a weekly basis is a fool's errand. But this week, I think we could see the Chiefs say, you know what, we're not going to run the ball. We're going to run through the air and use a lot of screen passes with McKinnon. So I think he's interesting in deeper league formats where you're like, it's Jerick McKinnon versus, can I talk myself into Ezekiel Elliott? In that instance, give me McKinnon. But outside of that, like, I don't want anything to do with the Chiefs running game.
I mentioned at the top of the show that we have the Breece Hall poll up of whether or not he's a top 24 running back rest of season. And that is, you know, the voting's currently very close. But for this week, we're not starting him, right, Debra?
No, we're not starting him. I don't have him as a top 24 running back for the rest of the season. I've got him right outside of that RB 25 or 26. This offense has been pretty sad with Zach Wilson at the helm.
Fitz, what do you think about Hall?
I do have him inside the top 24 rest of the season. This week I've got him running back 26. I mean, I think I understand the Jets' protection of Breece Hall and trying not to do things with him too soon, especially when it looks like this is not going to be their year as far as contending for a Super Bowl. So maybe they're not stomping the accelerator with him and it's the smart thing to do and the good thing for his long-term future. But he is one of the three or four most talented backs in the league. And this Jets offensive line is much better at run blocking than pass blocking. I think the Jets have like the second or third best run blocking grade according to PFF. So like they can run block. Like that is the best way for the Jets to try to move the ball. But I do understand that they're trying to, keep Breece's workload light for his own good.
Now, I don't have whatever this line would be in front of me, but I am sure you can bet out there somewhere a prop bet on number of times NBC shows Taylor Swift in this week because she's going to be at this game. It's a primetime game with Kelsey.
Take the over.
I was going to say, what would the line have to be for you guys to not take the over on times that they show Taylor Swift?
20.
Yeah, I'm getting 12 and a half is probably where they'd set it.
I was going to say 15, like somewhere between 12 and 15 feels like a good number, and I'd still be hitting the over. Yeah. Like it's got to be in the 20s for me to not hit the over on it. And I'll say this. We're going to talk about hot takes. Give me the Jason Kelsey, DeAndre Swift combination over Travis and
the better
Taylor.
Kelsey Swift.
Yeah,
is that's the coin. Yeah, that number would have to be multiple dozens for me to not take the over on what I'm expecting here in a primetime game. And also I saw a funny tweet that was saying, you know, the Bears are bad because they cut away from a game that Taylor Swift was at when they were getting blown out last week. And obviously can't cut away this time. So we're going to be seeing a lot of Taylor. Monday Night Football, Seahawks at Giants. My key question here is, if you need the spot on your bench, are you willing to drop Jaxon Smith-Njigba, or are you still stashing him in hopes of that second half breakout we often see with rookie wide receivers? Pat, I'll start with you.
I get it. You might not have any choice if you do have shallow benches. I mean, I would try like crazy. If at all, you can hold on to him, and I know that's going to be hard with the bye weeks kicking in week 5. But look, this is a really talented dude. Jaxon Smith-Njigba had 95 receptions and 1,600 yards at Ohio State as a 19-year-old sophomore, sharing a field with Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. So this guy is talented, but his average depth of target so far is 2.7 yards. Like, that's a problem. The usage is a problem. They're just trying to get him the ball on short little completions and see if he can do anything after the catch, but it's not fantasy-friendly usage because you need ample target volume to make that work, and he's just not getting it. 14 targets in 3 games. But man, if either DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett were to go down, JSN would become a much more valuable asset. So drop him if you must, but if you don't have to, hang on.
D-Bro, JSN, what are you doing?
Holding. I agree firmly with everything Pat said. And I keep running it up in the primer weekly. Like, you cannot start him right now. His ADOT is as close to nothing as you can get. But I put this out on Twitter earlier today. I really think a lot of this has to do with the wrist fracture. I think that they're trying to protect him, although they need him out there. These low ADOT targets, he's not even a full-time player right now. I think the healthier he gets and the farther he gets away from that wrist fracture, we're going to see Seattle's offense, one, play better. I think that JSN is the skeleton key to opening up a lot of the things that they want to do as a passing offense. And I think we're going to see that as we move through the season. So I'm not telling anybody to start him. Do not start him, because there is no reason to play him right now. But I implore you, do not drop him. Please do not drop him.
That will do it for us this week. Week 4, hopefully it's a good one. Some stinker matchups in there, but some really fun ones too. And hopefully we get some surprise exciting games like D-Bro has predicted. For D-Bro and Pat, I am Ryan Wormley. We'll see everybody again next time. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros. And subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.